The list of unemployed may soon include the head of BP.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. BP's chief executive, Tony Hayward, has gotten some negative grades for his handling of the oil spill in the Gulf. Today, there are reports BP's board is meeting to discuss his fate. And for more, we turn to Marketplace's guy in London, Stephen Beard. He joins us live. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Bill.
Is Hayward out?
It looks like it. I mean, BP hasn't confirmed it, but they have not denied the very widespread reports that Hayward is on the way out. It would be extraordinary if he survived, frankly.
Well, it's not like he personally caused the oil spill. Why is Hayward apparently walking the plank?
Because of his handling of the crisis, his PR gaffes, his poor performance before Congress. Nick McGregor, who's an oil analyst with brokers Redmayne Bentley, says Hayward's departure has been in the cards for at least a couple of months.
And I think it happened on May the 27th when Barack Obama said, if he worked for me, I'd sack him. Basically, at that point, Barack Obama just destroyed what little credibility he had left and made it a matter of time rather than a maybe.
So this move is designed really to placate the US. I mean, the US, after all, is one of BP's most important markets. But over and above that, the key point is that Hayward's international credibility has been destroyed by his gaffes in the US.
So who would replace him?
It looks as if it's going to be an American, Bob Dudley, who's currently in charge of operations in the Gulf. To an extent, it's coincidental that he's an American, although it will help. Analysts say he's probably the best man for the job anyway.
So I think the question Americans have on their minds, Stephen, what will become of poor Tony Hayward?
Well, he won't be poor. He won't leave the company empty-handed. It said his pension alone will pay him $750,000 a year, and there will be an additional lump sum to ease the pain of departure.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Bill.
So that's the news on Tony Hayward's job. Millions of unemployed Americans begin getting checks again this week. Congress's decision to extend jobless benefits means that $34 billion will be coming to the long-term unemployed through November. And economists say that is going to be felt in local communities. Here's reporter April Demboski.
Congress has been wrangling over the extension of benefits for weeks. The Republicans wanted to protect the deficit, while Democrats pushed for stimulating consumer spending. Economist Ralph Martiri is with the bipartisan Center for Tax and Budget Accountability. He says that every dollar of unemployment benefits has the impact of $1.74 in the community. That's because people spend the money rather than save it.
They are desperate. They're letting bills pile up. They got way too many immediate needs to cover just the cost of living to do anything other but spend that money and spend it immediately.
Hazel Feldman is an unemployed social worker. She's been collecting unemployment benefits for almost 2 years. When her check stopped coming last month, she was on the verge of applying for food stamps.
I've certified the whole month of July and received nothing. And if I call my account at the Chase Bank, it'll say your balance is zero.
What she wants even more than additional aid is to find a job. I'm April Demboski for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. World stock markets are getting a chance to react to Friday's results of stress tests on European banks. Most of the banks passed the test. Stocks are slightly higher overall. Another boost came from a report that Japanese exports rose for the seventh month in a row. Good times on Wall Street on Friday. The Dow Industrials added 102 points, closed at 10,424.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Henry Luce Foundation, seeking to increase American understanding of East and Southeast Asia.
It's been 20 years now since the first President Bush signed the Americans with Disabilities Act. The law lowered the barriers at stores and workplaces for consumers and employees who use wheelchairs or have other physical disabilities. When the ADA was being debated back in 1990, businesses lobbied against it. They were worried about the cost of accommodating disabled workers and customers. So how are they feeling 20 years on? Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports from Washington.
The benefits from the Disability Act, from wider store aisles to lower light switches to audible elevator signals, helped everyone. But there are no reliable studies on how much businesses have spent on these accommodations, and that makes any cost-benefit analysis impossible. Anecdotally, though, Peter Blank believes the price has been reasonable. Blank is chairman of the Global Universal Design Commission, which comes up with and promotes accessibility standards for buildings.
Well, I'm certainly not aware of a single company that has been put out of business because people with disabilities have been participating in the workforce. The economic benefits are great in terms of productivity, injury prevention, and of course of including workers in the workforce.
Personally, I'd like to say I think it's one of my more prouder achievements.
Randall Johnson was a congressional staffer who worked on the legislation in 1990. Now he supervises labor issues at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and he agrees the Disabilities Act was worthwhile, although there are still problems with what he calls drive-by lawsuits.
Lawyers will find a plaintiff and they'll find a merchant who is technically out of compliance, say the size of the bathroom is not quite right or the size of the entrance is an inch off, and that small businessman is forced to settle. If there's a problem, let's give the small employer, the small merchant, a chance to correct that problem.
Disability discrimination complaints are increasing, according to the enforcer of the Disabilities Act, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. There were more than 19,000 cases in 2008, and Chair Jacqueline Berrien expects more as the workforce ages.
Some of the disabilities that might require accommodation are sometimes associated with age. For example, whether it's visual impairments, limited mobility, some of those things may be more common among older workers.
Berrien says businesses have come to support the Disabilities Act because she says tearing down barriers has given them access to a broader range of qualified employees. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And finally, a poor harvest of extra-large potatoes in Germany is resulting in German French fries that are 1 centimeter shorter than usual. The reason appears to be a European heat wave. Finally, a global warming consequence that Americans can relate to. It's the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.